chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Looking at salvation, but some of the effects that that should have upon us, some of the changes that salvation ought to make, and how we're putting on Christ and others ought to be able to see Christ Jesus in us. We all know about family resemblance, and most times I use that as an illustration. Before, I had to go up the chain, but now I can go down, and got little Ruth, and when she first arrived, we kind of thought she looked like Kristen, and she's got Kristen's eyes and probably the cheeks, but Mom sent over a pastel of pictures of me as a baby, and there was no denying that. There's a family resemblance there, and whether that's good or bad for her, for us as Christians, that's wonderful that we should have a family resemblance of Christ Jesus, and people ought to be able to see the Lord Jesus in our lives. So Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. If you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Here the Apostle Paul writes, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for who you are. We thank you for the salvation we have by Jesus Christ and the change that makes. Pray that we would all understand that better tonight, Lord, that you'd guide me to speak only your truth and you'd teach us by your Holy Spirit. We love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're celebrating baptism, water baptism, for these three people, and that is something that Christ commands, as we'll talk about. So it's something that should be a part of the life of every believer, and it's a joyous occasion. It's an important symbol. Nobody's getting saved tonight because I put them under some water, but it's a symbol of what the Lord Jesus has done in their lives and a reminder of how to live it out. So tonight we're going to consider a little bit what it means to be saved, what it means to be a child of God, and what baptism has to do with that and how we ought to act like it. So we're going to see how we're saved, we're going to see how we're submerged, and then how we are sanctified. First, we are saved here. Verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Paul's speaking for ye, that's you plural. If you didn't know, I think I've shared before, that the these and the ye's are actually helpful, that if you see, if it starts with a T, that's one line, that's you singular. It's ye or you, that's, I think, two lines in the Y, that's you plural. So Paul's speaking to a group of people, and that group of people is who he introduces in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2, "and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." So Paul is writing to churches, local gatherings of believers just like us, who were in that day in central Turkey. They were people really doing what we're doing now, gathering together, singing praise to the Lord, worshiping him together, studying his word together under preaching. And part of their ministry was baptizing. But that's the wonderful thing of the Bible, that some people say, "Oh, that book's 2,000 and parts 3,500 years old. What does it matter for today?" Well, the ultimate author who worked through the human authors is the Holy Spirit, God who knew the end from the beginning. So by the Holy Spirit, it's not limited to the place and time. It is good for us as believers today, and it can speak directly to us. So these believers in Galatia, and Paul's writing this letter because they were having a hard time. They had false teachers coming in. They had some struggles. So this was not a group of people that was just smooth sailing and easy. They were people that had trials. And we are very, very blessed, but we all have our trials today too. So these are people that we can relate to. But this group, these churches Paul's writing to, he tells them that you are all the children of God. Wow. They're struggling believers. These were just average people, but they were the children of God. What an amazing title to be able to have, to be called the son of God, the daughter of God. And we talked about that somewhat this morning. And we learned from John chapter 1 and verse 12, which says when Jesus came, it says, "To them," to those who would believe, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So these people, those who put faith in Jesus Christ, we have the power or the authority to call yourself a child of God and to live as a child of God. Friend, there's no higher, there's no more glorious, there's no more powerful name than that. There's nothing that's greater than being a child of God. So at the moment we're saved, we are adopted. And that's what we talked about this morning, that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He's the only person that has been God the Son through all eternity. We're rebels of God. We're born in sin. But we are adopted, and we are placed into God's family with all of its benefits. And that's, In the Roman world, where Paul is writing, adoption is a little bit different. In our day, adoption is mostly about raising somebody and kind of having a parent-child relationship. The big thing with adoption in the Roman world was about the inheritance, about whether somebody, and sometimes they would adopt people within their own family to mark, this person is my heir, this person is going to have the name. Like Caesar, he adopted Julius Caesar adopted Octavian, that he was going to follow him as the emperor, and he was going to receive the benefits of the name Caesar. Well, that's what we get. We're adopted by God. It's that we get the benefits and the blessings of the name of child of God. We get all the rights. We get to be an heir. To the Roman, it would be to inherit wealth or position. Well, we're inheriting something so much better than that, that we get the blessings that God has promised. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 calls us joint heirs with Christ. And this morning we talked about Jesus' inheritance, how he's going to have a throne and he's going to rule over all the created order in power and majesty and glory. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that we who are saved, that we have the right to sit with him on his throne. Imagine that. Imagine. I think it's Revelation 3:21 that he's going to be there ruling and reigning, and we get to have part in that because we are the children of God. What a privilege. And people talk a lot about privilege today, and some people are ahead, and sometimes it's real, sometimes maybe imagined, but we certainly have a privilege as the children of God to call ourselves that, to have just what we've already done tonight, to have access to the ear of God the Father in prayer, the one who created all things, that he cares what we're going through. What privilege and what blessing to be a child of God. Paul is writing to believers who are having a hard time, but he says, it doesn't matter how low you feel, you're a child of God. We sing a song, the child of the King, and nothing can change that. And that's for us today. It doesn't matter if you're a believer, what you're going through. It doesn't matter how hard things feel, how low you feel, what the struggle is. You're a child of the King. That should be an encouragement to us, whatever is happening. That we can rejoice now in that, but knowing that there's so much more to come. I often say, for a believer, this is the worst it ever gets. Because what we have to look forward to, either after death or after Jesus Christ comes back, is that eternity in the presence of Christ. First in heaven, then the millennial kingdom, the new heavens and new earth, where we're not touched by sin or disease or death anymore. It is all wonderful. That is our inheritance as a child of God. But how do we become saved? How do we get these prodigious benefits and blessings? That's what the verse says. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's by faith. Now, many people will say, argue, isn't everybody God's children? You hear that a lot. Oh, we're all God's children, all brothers and sisters. Are we all God's children? The scripture's answer is no. Now, all of us as people, because we are created by God, we are called his offspring. We're produced by him, if you will, and those are different Greek words. It's not the Father, Son, and especially the inheritance relationship there. Every human being is made in God's image, and therefore life has value, and life should be treasured, and every person deserves the respect and honor of life and to be treated like a human being. But not all people are born with the privileges of a son or daughter of God, because both by birth and by choice, we choose to reject that. We say, I don't want to follow God. I want to do my own thing, and we rebel and do sin. Each of us who has had opportunity has chosen to sin, to disobey God in our thought, in our word, in our deed. That's what keeps us from God to begin with. And we can never do enough good to change that. People say, oh, sure, I've done a few bad things, but I never killed anybody, I never robbed a bank, and I've done all these good things. Certainly, that's going to balance out. But that's like the drink of water. You say, oh, I just put more good in. Well, do you want a lot of arsenic or just a little bit of arsenic in your water? That's sin to God. There's no amount that's okay. There's nothing. His standard is perfection, and we cannot live that out. So the only way we can be saved here is by faith. And in the Greek, it's literally the faith. There is one belief in Jesus Christ as Savior. There's one way of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us about that. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't do enough good works. We can't earn our salvation by coming to church. We can't merit our salvation by getting baptized. It's simply by putting faith or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 talks about it. Thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's a trust. Faith, it's not just knowing about something, but it's putting a commitment into that. It's a change of mind from everything we were hoping would save us before, thinking I can follow this, I can do this, I can do enough good works, realizing I am hopeless before God. But Jesus Christ, even though he was God, he came and became a man. And he died on that cross to save me from my sins. And he rose again to offer eternal life. And we put all our trust for eternity in him. That's how we are saved. We believe that he is the Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, the one who would come and die for your sins and rise again. And that is the only way to be saved, and that is all we need. All who come to faith in Jesus Christ are the children of God. All who reject that are rebels and enemies of God. And Christ Jesus in the Gospel of John tells those who reject him, who reject the Father, that their father is the devil. And the devil has an inheritance too. Scripture makes clear that the devil is going to be separated from God forever, going to be condemned into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's where all those who choose to follow him in rejecting God will go. But nobody has to do that because Jesus Christ offers salvation to each and every one. But then that brings us to our next point, to be submerged. How does baptism play into this? For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. As many of you, he's going back to verse 26. Paul is writing to churches, and he believes all those people in the churches are saved. And he says, all of you who are saved, you have been baptized into Christ. Every believer is baptized into the Lord Jesus. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. That was true then, and that's true today, that at the moment of salvation, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what this is talking about. Now, the word baptize, it's just what we call transliteration from the Greek word, which was baptizo. And what baptizo means, it wasn't necessarily a ritual or religious, right? It just meant to dunk or to dip or to immerse, especially with regards to washing. So when we baptize, whether spiritually or physically, we're dunking somebody, we're submerging somebody into something. Now, this says every believer has been baptized. That's not true of water baptism. We're all called to, but I know I've got at least three believers in here who haven't been water baptized yet. And we look forward to changing that in a moment. So this is talking about the Holy Spirit baptism. And John the Baptist talked about that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 when he said, the one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John said, I baptize you with water, but there's a better baptism coming. That's what Jesus Christ offers us at salvation. It talks about that also. You don't have to turn, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So this tells us a little bit about what Holy Spirit baptism is the Holy Spirit is baptizing or submerging us into the church, the body of Christ, the church, the universal church of all believers. And this is true for every believer. So there's no haves and have-nots, if you will. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of the universal church, the body of Christ, and you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's some people that get that doctrine wrong and they hold it out as, well, this is something you have to get later, this is something you have to earn or merit. But the Scripture makes clear, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you've got it all. You don't have to wait to get more of the Holy Spirit. You get all of Him at the moment of salvation. The question is, are we giving Him all of ourselves? Are we yielding to Him? So, like salvation, Holy Spirit baptism, it's not earned, it's not merited, it's a result of your faith and God's grace to us. And notice this baptism is passive. It's done to us. The Holy Spirit does it to us. Just like when we go over there, none of these three people are going to be able to dunk themselves and bring themselves out of the water. I'm going to do that to them. Baptism is something that we have done to us. And at the moment of salvation, we have the Holy Spirit baptize us and put us into the family of God, into the church of Jesus Christ. And in fact, baptize us into Christ, what this verse talks about, that we are fully identified with Jesus Christ. And that makes sense, because how is the church described? It's the body of Christ. So when we are baptized into the church, we are baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. Again, we are it's not just dip a toe in. One of the people asked me, well, can I touch the water, see how it feels? That's not baptism, and that's not how we get in the church. It's not just dip a toe. You don't get a little bit into Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit plunges us into him and immerses us into him. We are permanently made part of his body. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be part of him, and he calls us to that, and he receives us unto himself. So this is talking about Holy Spirit baptism, but obviously we're doing water baptism tonight, and that is still important, and really what that's all about is being a picture of these things that we are talking about. Holy Spirit baptism doesn't eliminate water baptism. Water baptism is the, we often call it the outward sign of the inward work. It's publicly declaring the work that Jesus Christ did in you and a commitment to follow. In this day, the Galatians, being a Christian wasn't exactly popular. There was persecution coming. And so it was one thing to be saved, and we could be talk many young people, like at Good News Cam, they say, well, I was saved in my bedroom or some private place, and we can pray and receive Christ as Savior anywhere, and it's tempting to keep it like that if you're under an area of persecution. But baptism for these people, water baptism, was a public mark of, no, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And still today, in Muslim-controlled countries or atheistic countries, baptism is a major time that often that's a break from a person in their family, that they're going to be cut out of their social circle, cut out of their family, but it's them acknowledging, I am a child of Jesus Christ and I am committing to follow him. It's committing to walk with him and to have witnesses in that. When I counsel somebody about baptism, I usually share from Romans chapter 6 with them. And verses 3 and 4 say, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. This likewise is talking about the reality of spirit baptism, but it's also talking about how water baptism pictures it, that we are baptized into Christ at the moment of salvation, but in water baptism we're identified with his death and resurrection. That we go under the water, picture of our old, like Jesus died, went to the grave, our old nature dying, as Jesus rose again, we are coming out to live our new nature. And that's part of the reason why we think it's important the way we do baptism, that we don't sprinkle, that we don't pour, because A, baptize means to immerse, and B, that's where you get the picture of death and resurrection. So that's why we baptize the way we do, and we believe that's consistent with the way scriptures show it. As I said, Holy Spirit baptism puts us into the universal church of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, water baptism is a mark of somebody really joining in fellowship with a local church. That's one of our requirements to be a member of Grace Bible Church, is to be baptized, because you're publicly identifying not only with Jesus Christ, but also you're doing it in the midst of a local body of believers. You're being part of this community. And water baptism is important, if for no other reason than Jesus commands it. As part of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, he tells us we're to go to all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But many of us who have been baptized know that it's an important event in the life of the believer, that it's if you will, a sobering event to think of the death of Christ and what he did, and to make a public commitment that you are a believer and you desire to follow him. It's going to help with spiritual growth and maturity and fellowship. So these are things that are done to us. We put faith in Jesus Christ, but he saves us. The Holy Spirit baptizes us. But now our third point, to be sanctified, here is where we have more of a role. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What's this mean, to put on Christ? Well, having been baptized, we're in the body of Christ. We have put on Christ in a spiritual way in our lives. This, again, kind of, it's a picture that would have made a lot of sense to the Romans. Just like adoption, that when you're adopted in the family, you get the rights and privileges of that name. We're adopted into God's family. Well, a lot of times, if you were a Roman citizen or you were adopted into a family of some status, there would be special clothing that you would get to wear. You would get to wear a toga with a certain stripe. And so you would put that on as identification, that people would know, oh, that's a Roman citizen. If they're the family would have a signet ring, or a special ring, and you get to wear that, and people would know, oh, that's the heir. That is somebody of some prestige and a person of some right. Well, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying to the world that I am a child of Christ. I am identified with Him. There are rights to that, but there are also responsibilities with that. We put on Christ and show our status as a child of God, and that's a great privilege. But once again, the putting on to the Roman world is all about status. But to put on Christ, that's not something that Jesus wants some people to have and some people not to have. He invites all to come to salvation, and He wants every believer to have put Him on and to be living that out each and every day. And again, this is something that water baptism is a visible and physical symbol of, this inward spiritual work that people can see. We're identifying with Jesus. Again, somebody can be saved, and they can, other people might not be aware of that if they just kind of meet them casually, but this is a public way that somebody is stepping out in faith and saying, I want to be identified with Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1. It's saying, I want to identify with Him. I want to put Him on, not a matter of pride, not so I can strut around and so other people say, look at me, but that I'm opening myself up to witnesses. We're going to go over and there's going to be a lot of people watching. And when we say to others, I'm a child of Christ, they have right to expect us to live like that. And when we tell the world, I'm a child of Jesus Christ, they're going to be watching. And they're going to say, well, how does a Christian live? And if we don't look any different from them, they're going to say, well, there's nothing big, there's no change, there's nothing important about them. So this is important to open our life up to the world, to identify with Christ and to commit to live for Him. We are letting others know that we have put Him on and He is dwelling in us. And that's the amazing thing. John 15:4 talks about abiding in Christ, and He says to His disciples, you in Me and I in you. That in the person of the Holy Spirit, Christ is dwelling in us, but as believers, we're also in Christ in the church. So we're just totally united and identified with Him for all eternity. So baptism is a key part of letting others see that we've put on Christ, but that's a one-time thing. But others should see us and see Christ in our life each and every day, because it should change our life. Salvation is a point in time, and that's, some people get that wrong, and they look at a process, and yes, most of us went through a process to get there, but salvation is a point in time when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells us, and we are made God's child. We go from a rebel to a child and become a new creature. Just like baptism, it's a point in time. I'm not going to be holding anybody under there. It's down and up, but then the effect of that continues. The effect of our salvation should be a lifelong process and change. It's the start of a journey. Now, praise the Lord, we know where that journey ends as a believer, and that's in heaven. We don't have to be under any doubt of that. But from here to there, what comes, that's us day after day saying, I want to count my old nature as dead. The old me that wanted just what I wanted, wanted to look out for me, that would lie, cheat, or steal to do what's best, I count that as dead. And I want to live like the new creature that is led by the Holy Spirit to love God and love others and to serve Him. We are called to live for the Lord Jesus in whatever time we have here upon the earth. Again, the Holy Spirit's always in us. We are always in Christ. It's not that I need to get things right. I need to get more of Jesus. I need to get more of the Holy Spirit. We have all we could ever need, but it's giving them more of us. It's day after day, every decision. Do I do what my flesh wants to do, or I do what God wants me to do? And we yield our life and our body and our time to Him. To be baptized is passive. Notice this is active. This is a choice that we have to make. Moment by moment, day by day, will I live for the Lord? Will I let others see Jesus Christ in me? Will I identify with His death? Jesus paid the price on the cross. We couldn't, but we identify with His death, and that we let our old nature and our sins be crucified there. We like Jesus to take the penalty for our sins, but sometimes we want to pull them back off of that cross so we can live them out. We need to let them there. He already paid for them. He took care of them. We need to let them there and identify with that new risen Lord and the new life that He gives us to glorify and love God and serve. Baptism is a declaration of somebody to say, I've made this decision, and that's the life I want to live. Now, do we do it perfectly? No. Each of us who's been saved any period of time knows that we fall short, that we fall into sin. And praise the Lord that God is a forgiving God. And as 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we ask for forgiveness, He will give it. We confess that sin. We say the same thing to God about that sin. He is gracious to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But still, the commitment is there. Just like a marriage vow. You don't want to be up there. You take this woman to be your life, to have to hold. You don't want to be him hawing around. Oh, I guess maybe I'll try and do my best. You make that commitment. And sometimes we don't love our spouse like we ought to. And sometimes there's troubles, but we make the commitment to live our life. In the same way with Christ, just because it's going to be difficult, we know we might fall short, we make that commitment that I'm putting myself out there to stand with Christ and to live for him, and I'm letting others know that's my commitment so they can watch, not to be a judge, but here in the body of Christ so we can encourage one another, so we can lift each other up, so we can be a help in time of need, and to come to the local church together to teach and exhort and help in this, and so we can be serving together until we see Christ. What a blessing is offered to us, to be a child of God, to be baptized in his name, to be sanctified, and to serve him. Friend, God gives you a chance to be his child. What more could you ever ask for? I don't know all your families. So glad that all of our people being baptized have some family to support them here today. But doesn't matter who your earthly parents are, you can have a heavenly father, and you can go by his name and have all the blessings. The only way, though, it can't be earned, it's to do it by faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, if you're still laboring to save yourself, trusting in something else, you can make that decision and put your whole faith in Jesus Christ today. If you have done that, if you've made that decision, friend, you're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and he has baptized you into the body of Christ. You are part of the church. Something Christ commands all believers to do then is to follow in water baptism. So if you've never done that as a believer, that's something I'd encourage you to do. But we need to make that decision every day to put on Christ, to let others see him working on our lives, to go where he directs us. So friend, I ask you, are you a child of God? Have you been saved by faith in Jesus Christ? Christian friend, have you followed in obedience to be baptized? Are you living your life clothed in Christ so that others can see that? Are you living to his will each day? If you're holding on to something you just don't want to give up, something that old nature that ought to be crucified to the cross, will you let that go tonight? Give that over to the Lord and let him have his way in your life. In a moment, I'll have closing prayer. At this time, if you're one of the people being baptized, if you want to head to the back, you can get ready, and we'll join you back there in a minute. So you all can go now. The rest of us, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that is offered by Jesus Christ. If there's one here who has never made that decision, Lord, I pray that you would work on their heart and they would see their need and come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. To all of us who have, Lord, we thank you for the blessings and benefits of being a child of God, but help us to understand the responsibility that goes with that, that we'd be willing to live for Christ each day, that we'd be willing to be baptized and be identified with him publicly, that we'd be willing to put him on each and every day, that a difference may be seen in our lives. Please work on our hearts now, and I pray that you'd be with this time of baptism, that it would be a great encouragement to each of these people who's undergoing it, that it would be a blessing to them. I pray that we all, as we look on, would be challenged to live out what we committed to in our baptism, Lord, that we'd be encouraged by seeing others do the same, that you would just bless us as individuals and as a local body here at this time, Lord. We love you and we ask it in Jesus Christ. In his name. This time, if you've never been to our fellowship hall, you're going to go out the center doors here, you're going to make a left and a quick right, you'll go back our junior church hallway, that hallway you'll kind of follow in on a dog leg again from the left to the right, you can sit in there, and once everybody's kind of over there, Doug will lead us in a few songs and the chorus books that are sitting out there, and then I'll come and we'll get underway with the baptism. Thank you.